church in the veil. Darkness so sear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the tree.
Loving God, we thank you for gathering us in on this beautiful summer afternoon. We recognize that the season of summer is fleeting and soon fall will be upon us. But we remember with sure certainty that you are with us in all the seasons of life. So be with us in this hour as we gather in this precious place to praise your name. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What are the hymns that you would like to sing?
Yes. 34, first and last.
Hymn number 34, How Great Thou Art, the First and the Last.
My God, when I in awesome wonder
Is there another?
428, all three pages, please.
428. 428, in the garden, all three verses. Number 17. Yes. Yes. First and last of number 17. This, by the way, was my father's favorite.
Some by flaming torch. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it, come
one more.
I'd like to do 110, sweet hour of prayer, first and last.
110, first and last. And then we'll do one more, okay? Precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my And now as we move into our time where we share with one another our joys, our concerns, and lift our prayers to God, I would ask if there are those things that you wish to share with one another. For I have come to understand prayer in a slightly different way over recent years. I always thought that prayer was the time for us to connect with God. But when we pray together, when we pray for each other and for the concerns and celebrations of each other, not only does it connect us to God, but it connects us to each other as if with gossamer threads. So what are those things that we wish to lift together to our God?
May I?
Yes. Thank you. Jenny?
I'd just like to praise God for this beautiful day and for this great congregation here. We keep this church going and it never ends.
Wonderful.
Yes. I'd like to praise God for every living day He has given us, rain or shine, and good days.
Absolutely. I celebrate being invited back again to join you for another year. It's wonderful to be here. And my husband and I would ask that tomorrow you would be in prayer for our daughter, Rebecca. She may be 30, she may be an adult, but tomorrow she's heading back home to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, driving that way all by herself. And I'm sorry, Mama still gets nervous. Others. Yes.
I'd like to thank in prayer for the quilting group that accepted me at Marie's house and the lovely ladies there and the heart of God that they have. I'm just completely feel the Spirit of God.
Wonderful.
So refreshing.
Quilting, when you take fabric, cut it into little pieces, and put it back together again to make something that is both beautiful and useful.
I haven't been there yet.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Other concerns or celebrations? Yes.
I'd like to offer prayers for Ed, who's paralyzed.
Thank you. Any others? Well, in this, yes.
Prayers for my sister Anita.
They took a while, didn't they? They took a while. We live at the foot of Vienna Mountain, where there are plenty of deer and groundhogs and skunks and all sorts of things. And every year for the last 20 years, I have planted a garden. And every fall, I have said, I will never plant another garden. And this year, I was deadly serious. And I didn't plant another garden. But Brian planted it for me, and he has tended it, and we have been eating from the garden, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that that is a powerful witness to when our faith is failing, others are there to bolster it up and carry us through. Lessons from the garden, the bountiful garden. Yes?
Do you think you can get him to come and grow my corn next year?
There you go. Brian, do you want to grow the corn? Others, concerns, or celebrations. Well, I would invite us now to let all of these things that we've shared with one another settle in around us and to be still for just a while in the stillness of this place. Because I believe that often it is in the stillness that we allow our hearts to really listen for what it is that God might have to say to us today. So let's be in that spirit. God of love and grace, we thank you that you have gathered us in this afternoon into this precious place. We thank you that you have gathered us in to sing songs that speak to our hearts in ways that mere words can't. We thank you that you have gathered us in to share with one another bits and pieces of our lives and lift before you the prayers of our hearts. We thank you that you have gathered us in so we can hear your word and go from this place to be your people in the world. And so we gather with thankful hearts for all that this day brings. We thank you, too, for the beauty of this season, for the long summer days, for the blue sky, for the green around us, for the bounty of the gardens. We thank you that you give us these days to live to their fullest. And as we gather in this place, we're mindful of those who are not here, but we wish were. Those who are ill, those whose bodies struggle, those whose spirits are worn. In particular, we pray for Ed and for Anita in these days. We pray, too, in these waning days of summer for those who will travel tomorrow and in the days ahead. Grateful for our time together, we pray that they will reach their destination safely. And we thank you for groups of friends, new friends and old friends, and for the sacred welcome and holy hospitality we find among them. You have placed these people in our lives so that we might grow together and love one another. We share with one another prayers that we say aloud, but there are also things that we whisper in our hearts. And there even are some prayers for which we have no words, but you know the thoughts of our hearts even before we do. And so we surrender all these things to you. We know that you hear our prayers. We trust that you will answer. Give us the wisdom to know your answers when they come. And may our prayer be this: if your answers are different than we had hoped, help us to see your presence and your promise in whatever your answers might be. Gracious God, we thank you for this time together. Now hear us as we continue to pray using the words that your Son, our Lord, taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's sing together, "Surely the Presence."
I can feel
Now let us come before the Lord our God with the offerings of our hands and our hearts. Giver of all good gifts, receive these gifts that we offer this afternoon. We humbly acknowledge that they're just a portion of all your blessings given to us. We ask that these gifts will be used so that the ministry in this place might continue to blossom and bloom in this church in the Wildwood. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lesson today is Psalm 100, and there have been many rewritings or reinterpretations, but I've chosen to use the King James Version, which is in your pew Bible and also is the one that many of us learned when we went to Sunday school. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
It is good to be back with you this afternoon. Since I was here last, two things have happened. Number one, I find that I have to rely on these a little bit more. And it may be because of the second thing that happened. I became a grandmother.
Yay!
Yay! It's wonderful. She is two now, and her name is Margaret, and she is amazing. I call myself a person of two books. First, there's this book, the book. You know what book I mean, the Bible. And this Bible in particular is the one that I carry back and forth from Waterville, Maine to Boston, Massachusetts every day for 3 years of seminary. So the pages are torn from having been turned a few too many times with a little bit too much vigor. There are notes scribbled in the margins from classes and as I was studying. It's a bit dog-eared and worn out because this book is a tool for living and a tool for learning. The second book is this one. It's almost as worn and loved as the first one, But it's a bit newer, too. I'll give it that much credit. This one is my hymnal. I'm a United Methodist, so it's the United Methodist hymnal. And this one is special to me because it was a gift from my beloved husband. You see, my parents would have told you that I sang before I spoke. In fact, as a toddler, they would put me to bed and I would get up on my hands and knees and I would rock the crib back and forth, banging it into the wall in rhythm and sing at the top of my little lungs. And they would put up with it for 20 minutes or so. And then they would holler up the stairs that it was time to go to sleep. My mother will tell you that I did that until I was probably too old to have been doing that, like 9 or 10. But I would sit on my bed every night and sing. I sat on the organ bench at church every Sunday, watching in wonder as Miss Truergy played at the First United Methodist Church in Brewer, Maine, where my dad was the pastor. I started piano lessons in kindergarten and violin lessons in third grade, and I started writing songs soon after that. And now I am what my denomination calls bivocational. I work half-time as a musician and a music teacher, and the other half-time as the pastor of the North Vienna United Methodist Church. And I've been doing both for over 20 years now. So it's not surprising to me at all that in Scripture there are so many descriptions of people singing their praises to God. In fact, Psalm 100, which you just heard, as found in Eugene Peterson's translation of it, says this: to sing yourself into the presence of God. Isn't that beautiful? To just sing yourself into the presence of God. I'm thinking that maybe that's what I was trying to do in those early days. So sing. Just sing. Make music. I didn't hear anything in the psalm that Mary Ellen read for us that said, make music that is technically perfect. Play all the right notes. Sing in perfect pitch. What did it say? Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Now, the music teacher in me will tell you the physiology of making music. Music activates the absolute deepest part of the brain that nothing else seems to light up on a PET scan the same way. And that's why music is so important to the developing brains of young children. It's why we can often remember things when we set them to rhythm and rhyme and melody. Like, how many of you can simply say the counties of the state of Maine? But I can sing them. The 16 counties of our state are Cumberland and Franklin, Piscataquis and Kennebec, Oxford and Androscoggin, Waldo, Washington and York, Lincoln, Knox and Hancock, Saginaw and Somerset, Aroostook and Penobscot. Bing, there you go. I can also sing you the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, but I won't do that. I won't do that now. Can I recite it? No, but I can sing it. And it's also said that when you sing, you pray twice. But more importantly, the reason we as people of faith must make music and sing to God is that it just might be that our songs are the only ones some people will ever hear. So now I'd like to tell you a story. It's one of my favorites, and it's often used at the beginning of the season of Advent because it relates in a way to John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness with this really strange message. But in truth, I believe this song fits at any time, this story. This story involves a man named Gavin Bryars, who was one of England's leading musicians and composers. In 1971, he agreed to help his friend Alan Powers with the audio aspects of a film that Mr. Powers was making about the homeless people who lived around Waterloo Station in London. And Powers had filmed various people who lived on the streets, catching with the camera's eye their daily rituals, their trials, their joys. Some of them were obviously intoxicated. Some were mentally disturbed, some were articulate, some were apparently incomprehensible. And as Briars made his way through the audio and video footage, he became aware of this undercurrent, a repeating sound that always accompanied the presence of one older man. And at first, the sound seemed just to be muttered gibberish. But through the science and technology of editing, he was able to remove all the background noise and cleaned up the audio tape to discover that this old man who didn't speak was singing. And ironically, the footage of this old man and his song didn't make the cut, but the filmmaker's loss is our gain. You see, Briars took the rejected audio tape and could not escape the haunting sounds of this homeless, nameless man. So he did some research on his own to find out who he might be. And from talking with the photographers and the film crew, he learned that the street beggar, in fact, did not drink. And neither did he engage others in conversation. His speech was almost impossible to understand, but his demeanor was always sunny and bright. He had a happiness about him that one would not expect with someone who was old and alone and filthy and homeless. A playfulness, even. For example, they said that he delighted in swapping hats with the various members of the film crew every time he encountered them. But what distinguished this old man from the other street people was his song. The song he sung under his breath over and over again was this simple Sunday school tune. For him, it was like a mantra, because he would sit and quietly sing it to himself, uninterrupted for hours on end. And the words went like this. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, but there's one thing I know. He loves me so. And this song, like a film loop, the final line of the song fed into the first line all over again. You know, like that song that never ends? And he ended up with 74 minutes of audio tape of this man singing the same song over and over again with the pitch never, ever wavering. Never went flat, never changed key, nothing like that. And the simple intervals of the tune were so perfectly maintained for however long he sang it, and this fascinated the musician in Mr. Briars. He began thinking about ways that he could arrange it and orchestrate around this constant repeated line of the old man's song. One day while playing the tape as background to other work, Briars left the door to his studio open while he left to get a cup of coffee. And when he returned several minutes later, he found a normally buzzing office environment eerily still. The old man's quiet, wavering voice had leaked out of the recording room and had transformed the office floor. Under the spell of this stranger's voice, an office full of busy professionals had grown hushed. Those who were still moving around walked slowly, almost reverently around the room. Many more were taken to their seats and were sitting motionless at their desks, transfixed by the voice. And even a few were just silently weeping, letting their tears fall down their faces. Briars was stunned. He was not a believer himself, but he could not help but be confronted by the mysterious spiritual power of this unadorned voice, offering an unexpected message of faith and hope in the midst of the darkest, most blightest night. Briars himself started yearning for the kind of confidence and faith that this old man had, that was symbolized by the song that he sang. And he began to face what it means to feel homeless and alone when most of us sit in the midst of our families. Briars vowed to respect this homeless person by creating a recording that would celebrate and accentuate his simple message no matter what one's condition. Jesus loves me so. So I'm going to invite you for just a few moments to listen. And I'm going to suggest to you that you need to listen hard at first, because sometimes it's really hard to hear the songs that are out there. Sorry.
Connected to a friend, I called.
And it is not going to work. It just worked a few moments ago. I can fix it. So this is our task. This is our work. Each one of us has a voice. We may not have the most perfect of pitch. We may not have the most pleasant of tone, but each one of us can make a joyful noise. And it seems like now as ever before, we need to remember that God can wrap the broken songs of the world and the shattered chords of humanity up with the music of the spheres. And by the way, the old man whose voice you just heard died shortly after the film crew left his street home. It was almost as if, when someone finally heard his song, he could leave for another place. Someone heard his song. Who is it that needs to hear yours. Amen. Let us stand and sing together hymn number 19, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Jesus, Savior, reign in
where the hills hear your voice, and go from this place singing because the world needs to hear the songs. And your voice might be the only one that some people will ever hear. Don't be timid, don't be shy, just make a joyful noise for God's sake. Go in peace this afternoon. Go knowing that you are the people of God. Amen.